The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Right?
So when you have a steak, do you not have potatoes? When you have a steak, do you not have broccoli?
That's not the same.
But it's not as good as the steak. If the steak's done well.
Of course, but
a potato can only get so good.
It's an accompaniment.
The Industrial Revolution, to me, is just like a story I know called The Puppy Who Lost His Way.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yeah, it's chaperone.
People don't like the chaperone.
Yeah, but no one wants
their teachers.
But the chaperone has a job, okay? Yeah, you're right. Not everybody likes the chaperone, but the chaperone has a job. They're there to do a job. That's what the cone is.
I don't want to be rude, Jen, but you're making a lot of terrible analogies here.
So you see, the puppy was like industry, and nobody, especially the little boy, society, knew where to find it. Except that the puppy was a dog. But the industry, my friends, that was a revolution.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yeah, I mean, at the high school really dance, the chaperone, all you want to do is grab a handful of who you're dancing with, and you got the chaperone sitting there looking at you going...
A handful of cone?
Yes.
Thank you.
They were cold.
You've got a giant hole to dig out of.
He also said the blow pops line, okay?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stack it just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running.
The closer it gets to Sunday Night Football, the more nervous I'm getting about the Green Bay Packers.
Wait, you're waiting all day for Sunday night?
Well, everyone else is waiting all day for Sunday night. I wait all day for Saturday at about noon. Then I'm actually done with work for more than 24 hours.
Your weekend starts?
That day and a half, though, it's glorious. Is that irrational? Am I being irrational starting to get nervous about the San Francisco game? Because I was like, yeah.
Because you should be worried about the Ryder Cup, Jen. Let me tell you. This European team, they've got this great rally
video. They're talking trash.
No.
The Europeans? Did something happen yesterday with the... Do we have to call them patrons? No.
No, that's just at the...
I thought they were a little snippy. And then I thought...
No, they weren't snippy. The Europeans yesterday came out in cheeseheads.
No, the European fans.
I hate the cheeseheads. Can we just talk about that for 1 second? We've obviously gone on several off ramps here in the first 45 seconds of the show.
I apologize. Jen had a plan. I did,
but it's fine.
It.
No worries at all because I really hate the cheeseheads.
Okay.
And when I told you guys this yesterday, you were like, wow, way to be anti Wisconsin.
I said, no, it was not cheeseheads,
not the people, the fomation. I hate the cheeseheads.
He would have loved it if you invented it.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Cha-ching!
Yes.
I would have loved it if I had invented it. But it's one of those things, guys, that when you go elsewhere, it's one of the first things people think about when you say the word Wisconsin or you say the word Green Bay Packers. Oh, do you have a cheesehead? Ah! This goes back to when I say when ESPN rolls into town, when Fox rolls into town, and they do their rollouts and they do their bumps to break, and what do they show? Cows. Or cheese. Like that, you know what I mean? So the cheesehead has become one of those things that, like, nationally people think of, and it's kind of cheesy.
Yeah, no, it's definitely cheesy. Is it over the top? I mean, I guess.
That was cheesy.
I don't know. It doesn't bother
me. Let me ask you this. Why did the Europeans, did they beat the Americans to the punch, or is that just arrogance of the American golfers?
No, so the Europeans are really trying to embrace themselves to the fans. So their uniforms yesterday, white, they had a green stripe down the sleeve, yellow tint, so it had the Packers kind of theme to it. Can't really buy it. Apparently that windbreaker's worth over $2,000.
What?
So, yeah. Ooh. Some European company made them, and they're like... Retail.
You know, now that you mention it, Dario was talking and I was barely listening, and he was talking about the prices of the clothing.
Gabe was well aware.
Oh, yeah. No, so there is, and I still may get it, the Team USA wearing, turns out they were cashmere sweaters with hoods, like hoodies, looked really good.
You're going to buy a cashmere sweater?
$285.
You're going to.
American?
You're going to buy a cashmere sweater
with a hood.
A cashmere hoodie.
Looks really good, though.
What if it rains? Doesn't cashmere get destroyed when it rains?
It's very impractical. It's very suede. You're thinking of suede.
But why? Why would they let? It's almost like they beat them to the punch. The Americans are the ones that should be wearing the cheese heads.
Yeah, but they
not
don't,
the Europeans.
But the Europeans really have to go over the top to try to make sure that, you know, hey, we're good guys.
Which
unless
is smart.
The Americans were smart enough to go, that thing? No. And they thought about the idea. Somebody pitched the idea to wear the cheese heads, and they were like, mm-mm, no thanks. We're good. We have dignity.
I thought it was great.
Wow. So you do hate the people of Wisconsin.
I just hate the cheese head, the Fomation cheese head.
And, if, and if you're a person who wears
them
it.
Every time I stroll down and struggle with my roller bag down General Mitchell's.
Oh, yeah.
Aisles.
Again, that's a you problem with the whole roller bag. Nobody else had
really,
an issue.
To be honest with you, you haven't really dove into that. I think it could be. We need to do the experiment. I think it could be an everybody problem. Am I being ridiculous for getting nervous about the Green Bay Packers taking on the 49ers this weekend?
No, not
we did power rankings yesterday, guys. And that division, as we know, is very tough, right? Four teams in the top seven, with the 49ers fourth in power rankings.
That seems high.
But I think it goes back to this. The celebration for beating the Lions seemed a little over the top. Because, Chewy, you said this several days ago. It's not going to tell you anything about
no.
this team.
Wait, who is celebrating over the top about the Lions win?
Well, Aaron Rodgers, for one.
Well, he just, I mean, he wasn't celebrating. He just said, hey, I threw for four touchdowns.
It was nice to shut up the trolls.
Stick it.
It was nice. Yeah. And what depth chart, like, where on the depth chart were those guys in the secondary? Where on the depth chart were those defensive backs that the Lions trotted out there late in the game? It doesn't seem like the Lions were a great barometer for how good this Packers team is. So I guess my question is, how good is this Packers team?
I don't think we know. I think it's a lot like Wisconsin. We have no idea. This Notre Dame-Wisconsin game, I think they both stink, you know?
But why are we crowning the 49ers? Not like the 49ers beat
That's
anyone.
What I'm saying. I'm saying the gap from the best to not the worst, but maybe 2021 isn't that big a gap, right?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean,
we don't know a lot. I mean, they played two horrible teams. They got pounded by one, and they pounded one for a half.
Yep.
That's it. So I don't, but to your point, San Francisco plays Philly, who we thought Philly was going to be terrible, NFC East.
And they probably
and beat
are
them by what, eight?
Eight, beat them 17-11, and then they played, much like the Packers, one good half of football against the Detroit Lions.
I'm telling you, it's just basically going to come down to Packers offense versus San Fran's defense.
Well, then I get more nervous when the Elgin, really?
There's
Elgin.
The G. God. You remember the G this
G's
time?
G's move in silence like lasagna, right? Real G's move in silence. Elton Jenkins yesterday has the ankle injury, so that makes me a little bit more nervous. And I'm not the only one, because Marcus Spears on Get Up was talking about how it's not that big of a deal that you beat the Lions. And again, Aaron Rodgers was saying it was nice to quiet the critics. It was nice to quiet the trolls. But I don't know that it actually did. Because as I'm sitting here this morning thinking, like, will the Packers beat the 49ers? It was a resounding, I don't know, for me. Go ahead with that Marcus Spears sound, Ashton.
Y'all beat the Lions, bro. Like, what are you talking about? That's the elephant in the room. You bounce back. Everybody expected you to play well, Aaron Rodgers, but y'all beat the Lions. And I watched the Lions beat themselves a lot. Like on that 4th-and-1, Neek. That's a great play by the corner. But why in the hell wouldn't you be throwing the ball to Hockenson, who been killing people all night long? Why wouldn't you do that? So, look, I get it. We all talked about Aaron Rodgers and bounce back games and bad performances. But you lost 38-3 to the Saints. It wasn't an overreaction. You got your face kicked in. And we reacted to that. So now you beat the Detroit Lions, which everybody picked you to do. Everybody thought Green Bay would win this game. And based on what they did from an offensive standpoint, that's what we expected. That defense, I still got a lot of questions.
Well, it sounds like Marcus Spears and Mark Chmura are feeling very similar about this Green Bay Packers team.
Offensively, I don't worry about this at all. I think they'd score enough points to win.
The offensive line, even with guys kind of maybe being available, maybe not being available?
I think so. I think offensively, when you look at that first game, they just were not ready to play. They didn't show up. You know, they thought it was a practice.
Be very
so
careful. Very
I dismiss
careful.
That.
Speculating.
But it's the defense. What is Joe Barry Garrell going to come out and do? Is he sitting there going, what's LaFleur want me to do? You know, do I come out blitzing, which I don't do, but it kind of worked a little bit against Detroit? Or is he, let's have the blanket. Let's go back to the blanket.
But see, that's a great point, because you mentioned that the other day on the show, how Matt LaFleur announcing to the world that he had a talk with Joe Barry at halftime about how they needed to change the defensive scheme, that was going to have lingering effects.
Yeah.
Because he could now going forward second guess
sure.
his own game plan,
yeah.
trying to please the boss, right? Well, what does the boss want me to do? I think it's a good point, and I think it's a good question. Gabe, how are you feeling about the 49ers-Packers matchup?
The Elton and Jenkins injury just worries me, because you got Nick Bosa on the other side. And as we saw with, it's just going to be more experience, inexperience on the offensive line. Whatever you decide to do to kick out the left tackle, you got two rookies, and now you're going to have your third option at left tackle.
Who is it? I don't even know who it is. I mean, they got to do some shuffling.
Well, they signed the guy who started a bunch of games last year for the Titans.
You know what?
Dennis Kelly would be the guy.
It really doesn't matter who they put there. Obviously, they're going to be less of a player than Elton Jenkins. It's just going to be a back has to help out there, or a tight end has to help out there.
Yeah, they could flip, because Billy Turner played left tackle last year when Bakhtiari went out, so they could flip Turner over to left tackle, even though it wasn't great. He's probably better than Dennis Kelly, and then insert Dennis Kelly at right tackle, because that's where Kelly played for the Titans last year.
Oh, nothing sexier than talking about the offensive line, right? Moving guys around on the offensive
Dennis
line.
Dennis Kelly?
800-990-3776. Given the offensive line situation, and given that it was the Lions that the Packers beat, how confident are you that they will beat the 49ers this week? 800-990-3776. Because I woke up this morning, and I was going through the old brain. Took a lot longer than I would have liked. And I was like, I don't feel that great about this. And maybe it is the overhyping of that division. Maybe it is. Maybe I'm looking at the division going, oh, wow, they really are the best division in all of football right now. And expo facto, ipso facto, because of that, then they must be really good.
But is it panic time if they lose?
No.
I agree. Is it panic time if they lose against Pittsburgh too,
and they're 1-3?
Yes It's panic
then
time.
It's panic time if they come out of the stretch 2-2. Yeah, then okay, you can kind of right the ship a little bit. And the other I just don't know about San Francisco. Like, you'd like to assume they're back to what they were in 2019, but they were beat up last year.
They were beat up last year, but I don't know if that defense is as good.
It's not their defense, certainly is not what it was in 2019.
I was looking through my bag just now, because earlier this year when the schedule came out, we went through.
Did you pull something?
I did. we went through the schedule, and we went through and we picked wins and losses, right? And I think at the end of it, we had them as 12-5 when we went through that schedule and picked the wins and losses. And I was curious to see how we thought they did in the first quarter of the season. But I couldn't find the sheet.
We had them at 2-0 at this point.
I know, no. But I think we did. But I think we did the picking before we knew Bakhtiari was going to be out.
Yeah, we thought that there was a chance that he would.
Yes.
We thought maybe he misses a couple of games. We didn't realize he was going to go pup full six games.
Oh, I was going to say, because there was no way we thought he'd be back for the first game
of
the season, guys. We definitely thought that. Because, again, the injury happened so late in the year. That would have been like
a remarkable
return from an ACL injury. 800-990-3776. How confident are you that the Packers can win this game this weekend, especially given the new news with Elton Jenkins, who, by the way, I always want to jam the G in there. It's like I can see the letters in his name in my brain, and the G is the one that's like, oh! So every time I want to say it, I want to say Elchton.
Where's the G?
Right smack in the middle.
That's a myth.
I think it's like it is actually a silent G, much like the P in
Gabe
pterodactyl.
Just got it.
That was so good. We can't just find it on the air.
I don't get it.
You have no idea.
No.
Go
so
back
good.
To bed. Go play in your bag over there.
It was subtle. Like, usually Chewie's hitting you over the head. Oh, man. That's so good.
Jason Wilde joins us next to talk about your Green Bay Packers. Stick around.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
Matt LaFleur is really good at looking at what went wrong and solving it, at least offensively, and that appears to be exactly what happened.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Joe Barry's defense has been about what I don't want to say feared, but expected.
Brought to you by Boucher Automotive, with 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive. We are driven by you.
had a camera in the studio, you just would have seen me going through my Mary Poppins bag looking for that Packers schedule.
You would not believe what's in there.
You would not. There's a child in there, a full-grown child. Jason, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Mary?
Does Paula have a big bag? Does she have a bag she carries everywhere?
No.
Oh, that's great. Then where do you put your wallet?
The Apple Watch has been an amazing invention. It's so nice not to have to carry my George Costanza wallet like into stores and stuff.
Can you, Jason? Can you put like airline tickets on that?
I don't know. I haven't traveled since I got my Apple Watch, okay. So I don't know.
You should, on your phone, you can have the airline ticket, too.
Yeah, definitely, yes. But I don't know about your watch.
The watch would be great. Then I would get a watch.
You
don't like technology.
You can put your boarding pass on your
no,
watch?
No, Jason, I still go to the
like
airport,
it's too small.
And I want paper. Give me the ticket.
Oh, we got to get into this, because now that I'm flying again, I can tell you all of the signs that people are novice flyers. All of them. All of the signs. And paper, the paper boarding pass is absolutely one of them.
Why is the lining up so confusing, too, for Southwest?
I didn't think there was a lineup for Southwest. I thought it was like a cattle call.
Well yeah, but it's A, whatever, A1 through 30.
Oh, and so the alphabet a and numbers. 30, yeah, that yeah, sounds super complicated.
It's very
Chew.
Complicated.
And there's
why
arrows, and it's just a big mess. Jason Elton Jenkins, what's the story?
Yeah, he hurt his ankle. Played through it in the game, and now didn't practice yesterday. And whenever they say we're going to give him the week, that's not a great sign, because I would think we will not see him at practice today either. Again, I feel like I told you guys this. I am not in any way happy that this is happening, but you know, I kept saying the law of averages are that you're not going to stay as healthy as they have stayed the last 2 years, and it kind of started obviously with Bakhtiari on New Year's Eve at practice tearing his ACL. I just, you know, I hope I'm wrong, but I've always thought for all the criticism McCarthy got, and I mean, he tried everything, right? Like he turned Fridays into a spa day, essentially yoga and spa day, hoping to prevent muscle pulls and those types of things. But it's just, you know, you can't prevent a guy rolling up on you and messing up your ankle or your knee. And so, you know, hopefully he's ready to go, because the idea of going against the 49ers and that front without David Bakhtiari or Elton Jenkins at left tackle, that does not sound like fun for Aaron Rodgers.
Jason, and this is now the third year in a row that the Packers have played the 49ers during the regular season, and I feel every time they play the 49ers, there's always going to be, oh, and Matt LaFleur going up against one of his good buddies, one of his former pals, and Kyle Shanahan. We got that when the Jets were in town. But are we going to get those stories this week, or is there a little animosity given everything that happened during the offseason and the 49ers were a potential landing destination for Rodgers?
No, Gabe, no, of course not. It hasn't affected their friendship at all. I mean, he doesn't remember the last time he talked to Kyle Shanahan, but hey, that happens, you know.
Yeah, you get busy. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. There's a pandemic going on. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on.
No, there's, look, God bless Matt LaFleur for taking the high road and basically saying, trying to find a way to not lie. I don't know how successful he was, but there's no doubt that it affected their relationship. I mean, there is no question that he was angry about this. And, you know, you could try and explain it away as, oh, they were just doing their due diligence and everything else. But, you know, Kyle Shanahan is probably he's a pretty ruthless guy when it comes to winning, and lots of guys are, right? I mean, I'm not wired that way, but maybe Chewy, maybe you are, like you play in the NFL. So I don't think there's any question that it'll be interesting to watch the handshake after the game, and I'll leave it at that.
I didn't know there was that big a riff.
I think I
I think they're downplaying it, right, Jason? I mean, LaFleur is certainly.
They are. Julia, I think the reason is not just, if it was as simple as, well, you know, it sounded like he was disgruntled with the third overall pick. We thought, you know, we'll take a shot. If that's what it was, that's one thing. But I think many of us, myself included, are convinced that the 49ers tampered.
Really?
Like that Kyle Shanahan was talking to Rodgers long before any actual trade offer was made. I am convinced of that. I had someone tell me yesterday, how do you prove it? Like, I suppose you could get cell phone records, but I think there's a...
That went so well in the Tom Brady Deflategate case.
Right, and it went so well in the Vikings-Packers Brett Favre case, right? I mean, Favre even admitted publicly that he talked to Childress and Bevel while he was pseudo-retired. And they still failed to actually prove tampering, and the Vikings got away with it. And they wouldn't have gotten away with it if the Scooby-Doo gang had been involved.
Those meddling kids. Jason, one conversation that we've seen a lot this week has been about the coin flip. Could you make a case for not handing Aaron Rodgers the ball if they win the coin flip at the beginning of the game?
Well, yeah, you can make an easy case for that, and that's you want the ball to start the second half, and you want to be able to manipulate the clock in hopes of getting the last possession of the first half and going in and scoring, and then getting the ball to start the second half and going in and scoring, as Rodgers coined way back in yesteryear on the radio show on this year station, the double up. But I think I'll be curious to see. I hope they win the toss, because Matt LaFleur has won the toss in 18 of his 38 games as the Packers head coach. And all 18 times, they have deferred. Every time. So, do they really, after two games, feel enough apprehension about this defense to do something he has literally... You know, whenever you do something you've never done, that's significant, right? And if he actually takes the ball, that either means, A, Aaron Rodgers convinced them to do it, or B, he has enough concern about the defense putting them in a 7-0 hole, or in, you know, the New Orleans case, 17-0 hole, that he wants to see if he can get the lead first and see if that changes the dynamic. All I know is Rodgers pointed out correctly that in 2016, when they went on their run the table run, they started taking the ball first. They didn't get it every game, obviously, because they didn't win every toss, but he believes that that was a key component with another mediocre defense. That was a key component to getting them going in those games that they won. So I really hope they win the toss, because if the 49ers win the toss, then obviously we won't be able to test this theory. But hopefully tails never fails and they get there.
Jason, I think it's more of he doesn't want his offense watching the opposing offense have a 15-play drive, because when you come out of the tunnel and you're about to get it on, and you know the offense is on the sideline first, you're burning up so much nervous energy, because it is true, the first hit of the game for you kind of gets you in and calms you down. So when you're waiting, we didn't have a problem back in our day because our defense was so good that we knew maybe they'd get one or two first downs and then went there. But when you're sitting there for 8 minutes and you're like, holy smokes, you're almost like exhausted for that first series that you go out there.
Yeah, I think the Lions' first drive was, what, 7 plays, 75 yards. I think it was like 4 and change. The Saints' first drive was not one of the long drives either. It was their next two drives that were 15 plays apiece. So, you know, again, what was it, a field goal on the Saints opening drive, a touchdown on the Lions opening drive? I agree with you. I think Rodgers is definitely frustrated that in the first two games the opponent has had a fairly significant advantage in time of possession. The Packers evened that out later in the first half on Monday night. But, yeah. He's spending way too much time on the sideline, and there's not you can't control whether your defense stinks or not.
Mm.
So they're looking for things they can control, and obviously if they win the coin toss, taking the ball is one of them.
Was the Matt LaFleur-Joe Barry conversation of, hey, maybe we should get a little bit more pressure because right now rushing four ain't working, it's giving him way too much time and we can't cover for that long, is that conversation a second half of the Lions game thing or a we should probably figure something else going forward for the rest of the regular season thing?
Probably both. Really good question, Gabe. I know there were some people that I don't know. Like, I love it when coaches and players are honest and give us a behind the scenes glimpse. Like, I think that's one of the most important parts of my job, is to try and give fans stuff that they can't just see on television. And when coaches and players share that kind of thing, I get a little annoyed then when we turn around and go, I can't believe he said that to his defensive coordinator. Which I'm not saying you're saying that, but some have. I think that that was both. I think it was, all right, this isn't working. We need to do something different. And it's probably not going to work going forward as long as Za'Darius Smith and his mysterious back injury have him on injured reserve. And so I think it was both. I also think, you know, unless they start getting something from their defensive line in terms of pressure, you know, I really like Kenny Clark, but he's been promoted to us as, you know, Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, and he just has not affected games as much as you'd expect for a guy that you gave a 4-year, $70 million deal to. And, you know, I don't like going after guys, and maybe there are reasons for it. I don't understand the intricacies of defensive line play, but I certainly have expected more production from him than we've gotten.
Good stuff, Jason. We are obviously very much looking forward to Sunday Night Football when the Packers take on the 49ers, and looking forward to Wilde and Tausch right here on ESPN Wisconsin right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy every single day. Have a great one, Jason.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.
Can you make a case for not handing Aaron Rodgers the ball? It's the question we asked Jason Wilde. It's the question we ask you. Can you make a case, if in fact they win the coin flip, not to hand that ball right over to Aaron Rodgers so they can march down the field and put it in the end zone? 800-990-3776, Gabe.
Discount Liquor has two locations at 51st Oklahoma and Milwaukee, downtown Waukesha and Barstow in Maine. It is a busy week if you are a Wisconsin sports fan, whether it's you're watching baseball, some big football games this weekend, or you want to watch the golf that's starting tomorrow morning, you want to make sure you have your beer, liquor, and wine in order. And Discount Liquor is the place to go if you want to do that, because they have literally thousands of varieties of beer, liquor, and wine. Look, it can be a little overwhelming when you walk in there, but they've got an expert staff to point you in the right direction to make sure you find what you need. They've served southeastern Wisconsin for over 60 years, always locally owned and family operated. Discount Liquor, two locations, 51st Oklahoma in Milwaukee, downtown Waukesha, and Barstow in Maine.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe is already eating his feelings.
What are you talking about? I'm fine. What do you mean, Buck Lock? This doesn't bother me.
On 94.5 ESPN.
But I'm thinking it's time for a change. Get out of your lane. The more that you stay there, you feel like it's unfair.
Is it time for a change for Matt LaFleur if, in fact, the Packers win the coin toss? Jason just told us, and if you missed any of Jason Wilde's appearance here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, you can hear it on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcasts. He said he's 18-38, and all 18 times he has deferred, handed the ball over to his defense. You don't really hand the ball over to the defense, but you put your defense on the field. And we're saying now, sure, that's worked, but with the way that these games have kind of rolled out, with the defense being on the field for a long time, and maybe your future Hall of Fame quarterback not getting on the field as much as you'd like to see him in the first quarter, maybe, just maybe, it's time to hand the ball over to Aaron Rodgers. 800-990-3776. Can you make a case that if you win that coin flip, you still put your defense on the field? You still let Aaron Rodgers sit on the sideline and watch? Chew, could you make a case for that?
Not with that, D. Like I said, we deferred quite a bit back in the day. Just because of the defense we had, we knew that the opposing team's offense wouldn't be out there long. But there's nothing worse, like I said, coming out of the tunnel and having to wait. I mean, it's what? Say 7 minutes clock time, which kind of equates to what, 25 minutes? It's brutal because your heart's just beating and you're
It's like a 3-to-1 clock? Like in dog years, it's 7-to-1? Football clock is 3-to-1?
So when you come out, like after player introductions, national anthem, coin toss, you start factoring all that in, like, you're amped up, ready to go, and now, hey, you got to go sit on the bench.
Oh, and what a mental drain.
It's brutal.
Emotionally exhausting. When you ramp yourself up to hit a certain point, and then you end up waiting. Now, I think, again, you can probably handle 2 or 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, right? Your adrenaline is still going. But then you start to fall. Then it starts to kind of leave me that
hard fall.
And
you lose energy. I'll never forget the Denver Super Bowl. For the New England one, 31, I had Keith, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I'm only really playing a little more than a half of a game. And I remember it because the Super Bowl amplifies everything because it's a Super Bowl.
It's the Super Bowl.
I ran out of the tunnel because they introduced the offense when we played Denver. And I'm like, I'm in tip-top shape.
Were you sprinting?
No, you literally think when it's happening, just don't fall, don't fall. Left, right, left, right, left, right, don't
I
fall.
I absolutely have done that. College game day, there are times where I'm stepping up the stairs and I'm literally going, step with your left foot, step with your right foot, step with your left foot, keep your legs together so no one can see up your dress.
I didn't have that problem.
You didn't have that issue?
Did you
take a hit of the oxygen after you ran out?
I was wearing a diaper.
Well, I mean, you know, you never know.
No, but you are exhausted. And it really doesn't, like I said, the Super Bowl amplifies things, but even the preseason, it doesn't matter.
So based on what the defense has shown these first few games, Chewy is saying there's no way if you win the coin toss, you hand the ball to the defense, you let the defense go on the field. Gabe, what do you think?
I love a good double up. The double up is, to me, it's a great way to end the half. You feel good, you get the ball, and the Packers have doubled up so many times in Aaron Rodgers' career where it just kind of seems like that puts the game away. You score 14 unanswered points without the other team touching the ball. And you want to talk about, I mean, you have a drive at the end of the half, their offense is off the field. Then if you have a sustained drive to start the second half, you want to talk about feeling demoralized. Like, man, last time we had the ball, we were tight. Now we're down 14. What's going on? And I love that. I love that. You can't.
No,
I can't
great.
Do it.
And
now.
That's why we wanted it. But you know what the weird thing is?
I can't do it now.
We really didn't pay attention to the score until the end of the game.
Excuse me?
Yeah, you really didn't. You just worried about what the offense was doing. You're like, all right, the defense will take care of itself. We score, you know, we look at our points, really don't look at it. I'm telling you,
is that
weird.
A product of knowing and trusting your defense? Because you guys, I mean, again, the year you won the Super Bowl, you had the number one offense, you had the number one defense.
Yeah.
So if your defense was this Packers defense, you think you'd pay attention to the score a little bit more?
Probably, just knowing it's going to be a shootout. You know, but you know, especially now, early in the season where it's warm, you score a touchdown, you get stopped, you go right to the bench. Talk to your coaches. You don't even know what the hell's going on with the defense, you know? All you do is you wait for, all right, here we go, let's go, you know? And it's like, all right, everyone gets up and then goes. But you're not even really concerned. It's weird. You're not even concerned about the score. You're like, we just need to score 28. That's it. The defense, whatever.
800-990-3776. Could you make a case for not handing Aaron Rodgers the ball if, in fact, Green Bay wins the coin toss this weekend against the 49ers? Steve weighing in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. When your defense is this bad, you need as many offensive possessions as you can get, including the first possession of the game. We also have Aaron Rodgers weighing in on this because he's been asked now if it's time to give him the ball right out of the gate, Ashton.
Yeah, I was thinking back to 2016. And we went on that run. One thing that changed was we started taking the ball just to kind of get the momentum going early in the game. I've always enjoyed the defer. And obviously, you can't always win the toss, but defer and the double-up opportunity last drive of the first half and the first drive of the second half. But that might be something that we might look at moving forward.
Is it time to change it up? Is it time, as Jason said, for Matt LaFleur, if he wins the toss, to actually take the ball for the first time in his career in Green Bay? Brian in Lake Mills, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Brian. What should they do if they win the coin toss?
I think you almost have to take the ball, but I'll ask Chewy this question. If the defense, now this defense, not ones that you played with, if this defense lays an egg and all of a sudden it's like 17-0 into the first quarter, does LaFleur have to completely change how he was looking at playing, doing the play calls for the offense?
Oh, yeah.
Or even down 10-0? So isn't that worse than, I mean, don't you have to look at that instead of, okay, we can score 10 straight to end the half, go and then go into the third quarter and score 10? Isn't that where how bad this defense is, that you have to look at it from the first quarter?
Yeah, the last thing a head coach wants to do is abandon his game plan. You know, but if the game like the Saints game, it gets so far out of hands, and players feel that. Like running backs, I mean, some guys I played with, I don't want to call it a clock, but like a running back, once he knew that, hey, I'm not getting the ball anymore. We got to throw the ball, so I'm all right. Check the mic and then go into the flat kind of game. It's just not fun. It's dejecting. But we always felt as an offense, and that's why, you know, Gabe mentioning the double up, we always felt like if we came out after halftime and scored, it's so demoralizing to the other team. We got it. That was our reasoning behind deferring and letting the defense start the game.
I've now thought about this in the reverse. I think the reason why you might not do it is because you don't want to get doubled up yourself. Like, how demoralized? Like, yeah, it's been demoralizing to watch these opening drives, but can you imagine if the 49ers get the last possession of the second half, they go down and score, and now they get the ball back again. So now we're looking at potentially back-to-back long drives where Aaron Rodgers isn't on the field. That would also be demoralizing.
We put it on the poll, and it says, do you think the Packers should take the ball instead of deferring when they win the coin toss? Chewy doesn't trust the defense being on the field first, so go ahead and get your votes in for that one. Do you think the Packers should take the ball instead of deferring when they win the coin toss? And I think we should also mention something that Jason mentioned, which is the indication of trust or lack thereof that it shows if you say, well, we've always done this, but now we're not doing it. It's not about you. It's a me. It's not you. It's me. It's not you, Joe Barry Carroll. It's me. I just really want my offense out there. Does it then start to deteriorate? And this is coming off of the conversation that we had, Chu, about him going to Joe Barry at halftime of last game and saying, what you're doing isn't working. So does it start to deteriorate a trust in your defensive coordinator?
I think it's already there. And that's why I'm very interested to see how Joe Barry starts this game off. You know, is he going to start in his shell? Is it going to be a 12-play drive, 7 minutes? Or is – I would not, because did you guys look at that as a lack of confidence? I didn't look at it as like, Joe, what do you think? Should we do something else? I was like, you stink. You better change this up because you're killing us here.
I think it can be somewhere in the middle. I don't think it has to be a complete indictment of his coaching ability. But I also don't think it's him being like, hey, buddy, everything okay? It doesn't seem to be working really well out there. Do you want to chat about how it's going?
Here's an orange slice. Sit down. Let's have a conversation.
Yes. Weigh in on this, because I think there's tons of layers to this, guys. I mean, we talked about the mental drain, the emotional drain on an offense that has to sit there for an extended period of time watching its defense struggle and how that can set the tone for the game. Gabe has brought up the fact that the 49ers could go out there and double up on them, and all of a sudden you've got a 14-point swing. We just talked about whether or not it starts to deteriorate the trust in Joe Barry and his defense if you change something that you've always done. And then there is the idea of, don't you want Aaron Rodgers on the field as much as possible? Weigh in, 800-990-3776, 800-990-3776.
If you're looking to get to a Packers game, tickets can be hard to find. Well, if you also need new windows, maybe tickets aren't as hard to find. You get 2 free Packers tickets with any free home estimate with Window Select. You've heard me talk about Window Select and their buy one, get one free window deal with no payments for a year. A local Wisconsin company, Window Select, has excellent products. And now, all you have to do is have them out to your home for a free estimate, and you get 2 free Packers tickets. You don't even have to buy anything. That's right. Just a free home estimate gets you 2 free Packers tickets with Window Select. And on top of that, they still have all the great things I've talked about. Buy one, get one free windows with no limits, no payment for an entire year. Window Select, a proud partner of the Green Bay Packers. Make sure you mention you heard about the 2 free Packers tickets from me right here on ESPN Milwaukee. I actually had somebody reach out to me asking, hey, what was that window company? The window company that, you know, they get 2 free tickets, you have a free home estimate. I need windows, might as well, you know, get a couple Packers tickets out of it. That's exactly what they're hoping for at Window Select. 2 free Packers tickets with a free home estimate. Reach out to schedule that free home estimate today, 262-703-3500, or go to windowselect.com.
What the hell game are you playing about?
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing?
On 94.5 ESPN. I fell for the devil's daughter. I jumped in, yeah, I drank the water. Town is toxic, can you fix my brain? Cause everyone that says I'm insane, help me loosen this falling chain. There's no use talking, I'm a dead man.
Can you make a case for not handing Aaron Rodgers the ball if, in fact, the Packers win the coin toss this weekend against the 49ers? Jim in Saukville, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jim. What do you want to do?
Well, you know, really, up until right now, today, I always thought it always seemed to make sense to look at the getting the ball back first thing in the second and a half, all that momentum stuff. But I've also been told that this defense plays better when they're ahead. And I'm racking my brain to see any other way that that can happen than taking the ball first. If they're effectively better, don't you want to get up, get ahead as quick as possible?
I mean, here are the facts. Packers haven't given up a point when they've had the lead.
Hey,
facts.
It's just the facts.
Just
bro.
The facts.
Yeah, you, but then you're pretty much.
No, nobody's going to bite?
No.
No one's going to take the bite.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. but then you're like, okay, we're going to turn this into a shootout then, right? Because you have no confidence in defense. And this, where this thing totally blows up, because right now I think it's with the coaches, because everybody talks, right? The offensive meeting room, defensive meeting room, offense is probably sitting there going, what the hell have we got in this guy? You know, we're not getting the ball a lot. But once it gets to the players and the players start like, can you help us out a little bit here? That's when it's over.
Okay, but let's see. Maybe the math will work in the Packers' favor. Let's say that Aaron Rodgers does get the ball. He goes out there. He orchestrates a 7-minute, 8-minute drive. Then you put your defense on the field, and they do what they've been doing, which is chew up the clock. Maybe, in fact, the 49ers only get the one possession in the first quarter. And then you go back and try to work out the math, and maybe, just maybe, the Packers can end the second quarter with the ball. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you can manipulate the clock a little bit so that the 49ers don't get that double up, Gabe, that you mentioned, to put the 14 points on the board, you know, early in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I don't know how that plays out. I think trying to strategize and orchestrate all that stuff can be a little nauseating, can be a little exhausting, but maybe the defense being on the field for extended periods could work out in your favor.
Let me ask you guys this. How much better is San Francisco's offense over San Francisco's defense, and how much better is Green Bay's offense over... Because I think the gap is, and I don't think San Francisco's offense is explosive.
No.
I think there's a gap between their offense and Green Bay's defense.
So I think that the defense is still the strength of San Francisco. It's not as good. I mean, they've got a lot of injuries at running back right now to San Francisco, and they've got young, unproven talent at wide receiver, but they still have the second or third best tight end in the league.
But what's the line? Oh, yeah. Well, like, hey, somebody brought up on the talk and text line. I don't even know who it is. I'll give you credit in just a moment. But if the Packers had a tough time with the tight end for the
Lions, Hockenson,
they're going to have a tough time with the tight end for the 49ers, one Kittle.
George Kittle.
But, I mean, they still, even though they lost Mostert for the year, they're still going to grind it out on the ground.
Oh, they're going
and
to try,
and I can tell you what, San Fran's O-line is better than our D-line.
I mean...
Right?
Whose offensive line isn't better than our D-line right now?
No, I know, but that's the game right there. You take the turnaways away because we don't know what's going to happen there. But let's say Green Bay's offense right now is a 9.
Yep.
San Fran's D, 8. What would you put Green Bay's defense? A 5? A 4?
Man, 5?
Why aren't you laughing?
Playing the Price
is
Right.
That was funny, Ashton. Yeah, look at him. He's giving me the bird.
The mountaineer? Yeah, the mountain climber. Yeah. That's great. I actually like
Ashton
that.
Ashton just gave me the bird.
Can we get the actual bird?
Okay.
Or was it like the flapping wings type of thing? Like, you know?
I like Price is Right.
Ashton has been a menace recently.
He has attitude. I don't know what's the matter with him.
Like, so during the Packers game, week one, it was an away game, so we were all in the studio, and you know, me and a couple of other people who were around got excited when Ashton got his credit, because at the end of the game Wayne Larrivee reads off all the names and gives a thank you to Ashton. So I'm like, yeah, hey, good job, Ashton. Flip me off.
I can't get
did you hear
it?
Did
that? Up there. That's true.
How about the production meeting? Chicken pot pie is crap.
It is.
What else is crap?
It is.
This is crap.
I don't
Ashton, see. I hate Chex Mix. No, Chex Mix is the greatest. You, what happened?
Yeah, what's going on, man?
You want to talk about something?
No.
You backed
something
up?
Going on.
You backed up?
It always too comes many, back to poop you're on, Jay.
Too many snacks.
I wasn't talking about poop.
Oh no. Could you please talk about poop? Make it about poop. Please let it be about poop. Good grief. Oh. Can you make a case for the Packers not giving Aaron Rodgers the ball if, in fact, they win the coin toss? And we're starting to hear how confident people are in the Green Bay Packers winning this weekend, which brings up a really interesting conundrum, interesting dilemma. Who are you most confident will win this weekend? Okay, I got three things for you. I got Team USA in the Ryder Cup. I got Wisconsin taking on Notre Dame this weekend at Soldier Field. And I've got the Green Bay Packers taking on the 49ers. Of those three, who are you most confident in? We will continue that conversation right after this when Jen, Gabe, and Chin. Jen,
there's
Gabe,
no G.
You're
gonna break
a
minute and a half early?
Are we a minute and a half early?
Yeah.
It's like 57 usually when we go to break here.
I just thought we were hitting a good stride, hitting a good momentum. You
Look,
know?
I'm surprised we didn't go to a
well,
break after
playing
Chewy.
The music.
After Chewy mentioned that he wasn't talking about poop, I just thought I thought the show was ending right there. Like, I thought we were just going
to
walk off.
And you
and
wonder
that would be
why
it.
Every day I say maybe.
Did he blush?
We'll
he
be back
to
tomorrow.
Blush.
I don't know. I can't see him over your giant frame.
His hat is red.
Yeah, so it's kind of tough. I think his cheeks are matching the hat, though.
Are you embarrassed?
What do you think?
His mother's listening. My son doesn't do that!
Stop talking! You can turn off his mic! Turn off his mic!
There we go. Though. Now we filled that minute and a half.
Don't make me come back there.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy will be right back.